Well, I was doing my review last night, and partway through my review, I realized that I was humming a song in the back of my head, and it was the song we sang this morning, as you're all on the altar. I pinged our song leader, and I said, would it be okay? Would you mind if we sang that? I said, you know, before I work out, I always warm up. Before you do anything, you should warm up. Well, that song was a spiritual warm-up exercise for us today because we started partly in last time about having our all in, remember? And so that song, I almost wonder if the songwriter was reading through Proverbs, Proverbs 3 specifically, when they wrote that song. But he was gracious enough to say yes. And we don't take that lightly. Remember, Satan is a master of music. The number one way that he gets into assembly without us knowing is through the music ministry. So don't forget to keep praying for Daryl. Pray for that ministry. That's his. He's got a little secret back door, and that's how he likes to get in. So we got to watch that. And we're thankful we got Pastor Nelson on top of that. So we are going to be back in Proverbs again. Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. Wow, no pages are turning. It's almost like everybody knew exactly where I was going to be tonight. Proverbs 3. We're going to read 1 through 7 today. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful once again we have an opportunity to look here into the book of Proverbs. We're thankful for the truths that you've given us. We know that every Wednesday and every Sunday, we hear from heaven, directly from you, giving us what we need to get through those moments in our lives where this truth is going to be tested. True faith is tested faith. So once we're given these truths and understanding, we can expect that we will need them at some point in the spiritual battles to come. Help us to recognize that, to listen with attentive ears, with hearts that are ready to receive and implement that which you're giving us for the battle ahead, to be successful for thy glory, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 1, Solomon petitions. He asks. He does everything he can to convince his son to listen, to follow. That's what the Lord does with us every time a man's up here and opens the Bible. It's the same exact thing. He's asking and pretty much begging and pleading with him not to forget the law, not to forget the truths of those things which he's heard. You could almost think of it like as a banking analogy. I've deposited something with you. Please don't forget about it. Please check in on it. Please don't forget to take out and withdraw that which you need to further propagate what I've given you already. We want to see it grow, not be stagnant. You're not given truth for it to do nothing. Let thy heart keep thy commandments. We talked about the heart being that which is going to dictate and indicate just about most everything you do in your life. So you know some people whose hearts aren't right. I mean, we use that term. Brother, your heart ain't right, right? I can hear that in the voice of somebody in this church. I can hear it. I hear it. Your heart ain't right. The person's heart ain't right. I was witnessing to them and their heart wasn't right. I can hear it. And we know that that is where we start to slip and slide, and that's when the bad decisions start. And of course he's addressing it. Let thy heart keep my commandments. That means you're doing it with everything that you have. It's not just rote, like I'm supposed to be in church, I'll show up. I'm supposed to read my Bible. Ooh, I read 3 verses today, I'm good. I'm supposed to be in my prayer closet. Hey, Lord, how are you? See you later. You know, it's not that. It's going to the Lord, understanding everything that you've been taught and the reason why you're doing it. Why? Because he is God. That's the fear we have. And the promise here is that, so your length of days and long life, you shall have peace, and they shall add to thee. And again, we said, and keep this little gloss in mind, 5 years of perfect harmony with the Lord is better than 100 without. This is talking about the quality of your life, the walk that you will have. This is the, if you do this, then you'll get that. Don't forget about that. So every time you choose not to read your Bible, you're pretty much saying, Lord, I know you guarantee me this peace within my life. I'm just going to throw that away for this week. Go ahead and remind me that I need to get back in your law. Go ahead, Lord, and bring in these things which I'm going to go, oh, you don't want that. You don't want that. You only want those things in your life. He's going to do that to test you and try you for his good pleasure, not because we need to be reprimanded and called back to what we should have been doing already. You know, parents, we know we nudge our children in certain ways, sometimes lovingly, sometimes firmly. You know, which one do you want? Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Wait a minute. They can forsake thee? How? How about if you forsake the law? How would you always like to have mercy? How would you always like to have truth in your life? Be able to make decisions without a question, knowing this is what the Bible says I should do. I'm doing it no matter the cost. I don't have to concern myself with it. Right? Think about these crazy elections that just came up. At work, everyone is like, oh, you're a Christian. How are you voting? I said, I'm voting the Bible. And they said, what's that means? I said, I don't actually have to go out and listen to propaganda. I just have to know who lines up with a Solomonic platform, because that's God's perfect nation right there. And he gives an outline of everything. Who lines up with that? That's who I vote for. I don't care about personalities. I just vote the Bible, you know? And that's what I'm talking about. And everything in life can be that simple, because the Lord doesn't want it complex. If you don't do that, you give up mercy, you give up truth, you let them forsake you because you forsake them first. That's important. They're always available. You're to bind them about your neck, write them upon the table of your heart. This is internal change. People look at us and go, something different about that fella, something different about that girl. Not, let me show off. Okay? So thou shalt find favor. If you do all this, you shall find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. We went over that a little bit extensively last time. We talked about understanding. Remember, we put the chart on the board. I'll just throw it back up real quick. We'll find one of these markers that works. Thank you, Daryl, for the purple. So we've got fear, knowledge, understanding, wisdom, fear. And he said that this wisdom is like right in the center. It's the crux. This is where the Holy Spirit starts to get involved, and he's the one that gives us interpretation. He's the one that tells us what things mean. He's the one that ties it all together. And you can have good understanding. He makes that point ahead of time before getting to verse 5. You can have good understanding. That also means, conversely, that there can be bad understanding. So he's setting you up for the bad understanding before he even gets to the verses. He's saying, this is what you want, this is what you want. But then I noticed this the other night as I was reviewing all through this, what Solomon does in chapter 2. He says, if you do this, if you do that, if you do this, then you will have that, right? Picture this for a moment. We're having a conversation like a contract. And I'm saying to you, if you do X, Y, Z, you will get A, B, C. It'll always happen, period. And so you say to yourself, good, if I just do these things, I'll get that. But that doesn't preclude me from doing other things in addition, or doing other things poorly in addition to it. So I can say I'm crossing all my T's and dotting my I's over here, but in this other aspect of my life, I'm doing something different. Why do you have blessings in some part of your life and cursings in other? Right? Well, this good understanding, you could have it with doing the things properly, but then you're leaning on your own understanding for other things in your life. And we have to determine, oh, this is us. Not the Lord testing us. This is the Lord reprimanding us now. Are you capable of knowing the difference between those tests and those trials? Because you'll never get out of the reprimand until you make some appropriate changes. You know, it's not just sometimes about learning. It's about changing. Right? So, when you find, if you have that good understanding, right, that means you're leaning on the Holy Spirit to guide you, then you will find favor in the sight of God and man. What that means is at the judgment seat, when he says, let's talk about how you lived your life after I saved you for a life of sanctification, so you could become more like me, to talk about me, to teach about me. You're going to be able to say, Lord, I did that because of this. You can look him right in the eye and say, I did it because your word said so. And man will say, again, there's something different about that guy. You know, conviction is very attractive, And it can be very motivated for those who don't have it. Just by you living your life, you can affect everyone else around you, even if you don't even talk to them. If they see you constantly doing certain things and constantly not doing other things. A lot of people are retiring at work. Awful lot of people. 5-6 a day. Constantly invited to all these retirement parties. Guess where they are? Bars. Guess who's finally stopped getting invites? Because he keeps saying no. They just know. He's a Christian. He's not going to go. Don't even invite him. Okay? You can, and you got a testimony. Why? Because you have a good understanding that you're just living. That's where wisdom, the application, comes in. I'm living out what the Lord taught me because I have a fear of the Lord. Sometimes you show other people your fear of the Lord unintentionally. Unintentionally. All right. Verse 5 is where we started and kind of got through last time. And we skipped over a bit so I could get several things in. But I want us to think of verse 5 and verse 6 as a couplet. I mean, they are in the Hebrew, but let's just think of them that way. They're building blocks one upon another. Let's just read both of those together. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. We see the double couplet there. Da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da. Okay? And then verse 6, in all thy ways, da-da-da-da, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. These build on each other so amazingly. There's so much here. I was telling somebody the other night, I don't remember who it was, somebody here, I think, we could just spend all year preaching on these two verses over and over and over. They're unsearchable riches. They just never stop. There's so much here. But, of course, we only have so much time. So, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. That trust, our Hebrew word there, batak, is not just to have confidence, but to be bold. To be bold. Why can we come boldly before the throne? Because we're trusting all the promises that come from the Lord saying, you come to me this way, and I will do these things. I will respond. You know, if you can think of it this way, if you take verse 5 and you take verse 6 and you put them together, they're actually describing a life of complete dependence on the Lord. Complete dependence for everything in that life, right? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean on unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's from the minute you wake up till the minute you go to bed. And you can't control what you're thinking when you're asleep. But in every other aspect, he's got the reins. He's got the lead. You know, part of the reason that doesn't happen, that trust gets misplaced. Yeah, sometimes we trust in ourselves, right? Sometimes we trust in other men. Sometimes the crowd says, we're all going to do X, Y, Z, and it's very difficult to say, not me, no, sir. But then you're trusting in a confidence other than what the Lord has given you. Philippians 3:3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Where are those eyes? Where are the eyes of these people? Are they looking here, or are they looking heavenward? They're not trusting anything that this flesh has to offer. That should be us. That should be us. Go to Jeremiah 17 with me. Jeremiah 17. One of the patterns that the Lord gives throughout Scripture, he basically sums up life pretty easily. He says, you are going to be blessed or you're going to be cursed. Have you ever noticed that there's a lot of black and whites with the Lord? You receive crowns or you receive curse. Pretty much, right? Sorrow at the judgment seat. You speak life into somebody or you speak death. You're saved or you're not. You're 100% filled with the Spirit or you're not. He doesn't give us any wiggle room on purpose because we're going to find it. We'll find the little escape and the little way out. We're masters. Every one of us is masters at that. So doesn't give us any wiggle room. In Jeremiah 17, 5 through 9, talking about blessing and cursing. Thus saith who? The Lord. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. You know what that means? Look at this. I'll do it myself. I'll take the world on myself. You know what? Brother so-and-so and I will do it together. Or our small little clique. Or this church will do it together. Well, you can't do it without the Lord. Right? Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. They're not all in. They're not all in. For he shall be like the heath. That word actually means to be like stripped bare and destitute. So think of the context of what he's saying. For he shall be like the heath in the desert. Being in the desert is bad enough as you're out there under suffering and punishment, but imagine having nothing, being stripped down, no shelter from the sun, no sunblock 50, no nothing. You're just being ravaged by the desert is what he's saying. This is the depth of the cursing. And shall not see when good cometh. You know what happens? They get so bitter and angry, they don't even see it when good things happen. How did they lose their peace? Where did it go? Did the Lord take it or did they give it up? Their heart left the Lord. And the Lord says, well, if this is the king you want, then this is the king I'll give you. If you want this in your life, it's what he's going to give you. But shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land and not inhabited. However, verse 7 comes next. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. That's the first part of verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And whose hope is in the Lord. What are you hoping in? There's one thing to say, right? Think about this. Think of the subtlety here. Yeah, I trust that the Lord will do it because his word says so. Okay, it's going to happen. But are you hoping in that? Are you going, I hope my Lord shows himself. I hope he takes a moment to reveal how he's blessing me. I can see him in my life. I can feel him. I look for every moment to have a conversation with the Lord. Don't you want to see him and feel him and be with him every moment? Do you have a relationship or do you just have a trust? Okay? You hope. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope in the Lord is, for he shall be. And we know these other verses, but sometimes we don't read the ones before them. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heath cometh. See that? There's a point where that stripping down and being made bare and destitute is going to come, but you're not even going to notice it. It'll come into your life and you'll go, all I see is the Lord. My trees and my root branches are going right towards the water and nothing's stopping, and I get everything I need to pull from that river to be the tree that I need to be, to fully flourish, to show everybody the glory of the Lord. Okay? That spreadeth out her roots by the river, shall not see when heath cometh, but her leaf shall be green. Everyone else's life around you is falling apart. Even if your life is falling apart, your heart's not. Your peace isn't gone. You just say, praise the Lord. And shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Because you're not the source of the fruit anyway. The heart, and now this is where the verse we all know comes in. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it? We've got our own little self-deceiver sitting right here in our chest. You know what? Don't wrestle with it. Just give it all over. Same way that you don't want to go up against Satan because he's going to defeat you every time without the sword of the Spirit, without the Holy Spirit fighting in your behalf. We're going to lose against our flesh every time. I mean, don't raise your hands, but how many people have failed more than 15 times in the last month with their flesh? I mean, if I asked you, probably every hand would go up. I saw somebody raise their hand. All right, okay. We know. We lose all the time to our flesh. Well, just ask yourself, why? Why do we lose? He doesn't have your whole heart. He doesn't have it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. Let's go to Psalm 112. If you guys want to, gals, want to mark this in your book, maybe anytime you start getting in a challenge, just keep this as like your spiritual battle verses, and just come back here, let your mind cascade over these verses. One of those where things are going wrong, your heart may be a little troubled, something's going on at work, something's going on at home, and you're not sure where to go to get some help. Jump in here. Just jump into here. It's a short, there's 10 verses. Just think about this as we read through it. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. Guess where it takes us? Boom. Yeah. Right back to where we need to be. It course corrects, and you can't read any further without going, am I doing that? Am I doing that right now? I can't read any further unless I get that right. That feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. What did we just talk about? You're only going to delight in something if you're actually hoping and longing and wanting to see it. Remember, this fear is a reverence. Knowing him for who he is and everything that he is and just being in absolute awe. Of course we're going to be hoping in that, wanting that. So we're going to delight in his commandments. They're going to correct us. They're going to course correct us and bring us right back on. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Is that you? Right? You have to ask yourself, am I one of the upright or have I slipped? Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. I think of that one. It's like, well, that means I should have no wants and no needs, right? I go back to Malachi 3:10. If I'm tithing in my local church, the Lord guarantees I'll have everything that I need. He'll open up the windows of heaven. Oops, I forgot to tithe this week. I better get that straightened out. And tithing isn't just about giving. It's about giving joyfully to see the work of the Lord propagated. Again, you can just show up and slap a check in the bucket. Is that tithing? Not really. He doesn't have your heart. He has your checkbook, but he doesn't have your heart. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. You ever been in a point of gloom in your life where there seems that there's no way out? Everybody's against you. Everything's going wrong. No matter what you try to do, nothing gets better. It only gets worse. Light in context is what? Understanding of Scripture, illumination, understanding, illumination, the Holy Spirit going, here you go. Here's what you need to know. Go in wisdom and make application and change your life accordingly. Why? Because you fear me. Because you revere me. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteousness only when it's convenient, only when there's no trial. No. Period. All the time. Great peace have those that love, look for, hope for, trust in thy law, that nothing shall offend them. That's hard. A lot of times I want to be offended, right? I want to say, nope, in this moment, I'm just, and your flesh gets you. And before you know it, your mouth has said something, and you can't take it back, and now you got to deal with the repercussions. And guess what? The Lord goes like this. That's a Christian? I guess I'm a Christian too then. I guess I don't need to go to church. I do that every day. That's how I talk. That's how I live. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Remember we talked about discretion earlier, like in chapter 2. And we haven't got to 3:21 yet, but Solomon is talking about discretion in 3:21. We'll get there too. But discretion is doing what? Living your life intelligently, making decisions based on, I'm going to keep pointing to this understanding on the board over and over again for those people listening on the web that can't see me pointing. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. You know what that means? Remember we talked about that filter between you and the world? Everything you say and do has to go through Christ and what he's taught you and your reactions. And people can't hurt you through that unless he wants them to have an effect on your life, in which case he's not going to test you beyond what you can handle unless you try to let go of his hand. That's when the hurt comes, when you let go and stop looking at the world through the filter. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. You got any fear in your life? You got any bad news? So what? Lord's still in control, unless he doesn't have your heart, and then he's not in control. Well, he is, but you get what I'm saying. Nothing's going to make you afraid. Evil tidings, so what? His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Fixed, unmovable, trusting in the Lord. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. Whose enemies are they? Are they yours or are they the Lord's? I feel a couple things, but if anyone ever comes against our pastor, against Bible Baptist Church, they're not fighting a man, they're not fighting men, they're not fighting women, they're fighting the Lord. Don't try to take his battle for yourself. Let him. He wants to be a buckler. He wants to be a shield. Let him do it. And watch that evil break upon it and fall. He hath dispersed, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endureth forever, his horn shall be exalted with honor, the wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away, the desire of the wicked shall perish. So, do you see why I said? If you ever get challenged, you have something going on in your life, just jump in Psalm 112 real quick. Read through all that. It'll course correct you, it'll course correct your heart, it'll give you promises. There's some more if-thens. If I do this, then I'm going to have all this. And then you look for it. You look for the Lord to step up and do that in your life. Okay? Psalm 112. Highlight the whole chapter there. Blessed of those that feareth the Lord. Blessed, blessed, shall not be afraid. By the way, I forgot to tell you in verse 8 when it says, his heart is established. That means to lean on, to lay on, to rest on. I couldn't help when I read that about thinking about John laying his head on the Lord Jesus Christ's breast. Guess what? At that moment, John was all in. The Lord had his everything. So when you think of yourself, if you could hold up a spiritual mirror and look at yourself and see yourself in the Lord, is he standing 3 feet to the right? Or do you have your spiritual head rested right on his bosom, listening for any little whisper word he's going to say to you? Pretty powerful stuff. Let me just read you a few verses here. Proverbs 1:33, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. That word safety is the same as the root of our same word. We're talking about trust. Safety and trust go hand in hand. It's reciprocal. If you trust in the Lord, of course he's going to provide safety. He's never going to fail you. He'll always give you what he promises. Here's one verse for that. And we're going to stay in Proverbs for all this because Solomon just has this wonderful building block. 16:20, he that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, because he's going through good understanding, he shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Second Chronicles chapter 11. Rehoboam. Second Chronicles 11:23. Right. Forsook. Right. Amen. By reason of strength. Yeah. Amen. Right. Right. That he says, who this book's being written to. Forgetting and forsaking. Amen. Right. Yep. Amen. Yeah, Rehoboam had 88 children and I think, 78 wives? Does that sound like the plan? So he did a lot of forsaking. He had all of this. I mean, his father gave him a one-on-one class. You know, I've had the privilege of having one-on-one seminary classes. Those are some of my favorite classes because you can ask all the questions. You could get deep. You could go. He had that, and yet still he failed over and over. The wisest man in the world counseling him, and he still failed pretty spectacularly. So that could be us very easily. One bad mistake, one bad thing, and we could be a Rehoboam. We could be a Solomon for that sake, you know. But thank you, Pastor. So anyone on the web that didn't hear that, that's verses 22 is where he's dealing wisely. And then 12:1, where he's forsaken, and we see all the repercussions of that. So that very easily could be us, very easily. I wonder how much happiness he had when he forsook the Lord. Think about this, too. I mean, if he had, 88 children, those are heritages of the Lord that he was given, that he was supposed to be representing the Lord, too. So how he exponentially failed. I have one child and I fail, but I have 88 children. I failed 88 times that amount. That's compiling. A few more. Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion, king of the beasts. That should be us. That should be our testimony. 28:25, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat or prosperous. This isn't just necessarily talking about physical prosperity. That's probably the least important. way to be prosperous in life. Peace, you know, the hope, all of that. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. We did our whole fool study earlier. But whoso walketh wisely shall be delivered. From what? It doesn't say delivered. Period. Context there, but. The fear of man bringeth a snare. We know this verse. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. That means inaccessible, high up, unable to be touched. And I always get this picture of the Lord going, nope, not him, lifting me right up out of the trouble and just holding me up there, waiting for all the stuff to pass. Perfect peace. And he goes, okay. And then he puts you back down again. All right. Trust is kind of like, if you think about it, kind of like love. Both parties have to be involved before it really exists. All right? You need to do your part in this. You need to be the one putting your full trust so the Lord can give you full rewards. We always say that marriage isn't 50-50. It's 100%, 100%. Husband is all about the wife. He doesn't even think about himself. Wife is all about the husband. She doesn't think about herself. Why? It's not her job to take care of herself. It's his. And it's not his job to take care of himself. It's hers. You break that, you're going to have problems. You're going to have problems. Partial trust is not trust at all. Either God is trustworthy or he's not. It's really that simple. And one of the things that I always like to remind myself is, if he cannot be trusted with all, he's not trustworthy at all. But if he is trustworthy for all, we better give him our all. Okay? And I'll say this again because I have to say it for myself quite a bit. Don't beat yourself up in that moment you realize you're not doing that. And you're like, oh, this is all me. This is all my fault. It's called sanctification for a reason. It's a process. We get more and more and more victories, but we're never perfect. We'll never be able to be perfect until the Lord does that for us in the culmination of our sanctification. There's an analogy that came to mind for me, a couple analogies, but this one just seems to lock it right in because it's something that the world knows, and maybe an unsaved person will be listening to this. I have a Christian friend that likes to go to the casinos, right? And it just occurred to me while I was studying this, the world understands this all-in principle. So you get a visual of your mind at somebody at a poker table, and they take all of their chips, and they just push them. Everything that they have. This is it. I am all in. That's the term. They push all the chips in, and their entire life is riding on one roll. Right? Of what? Luck. Why don't we take a sure bet, which isn't even a bet, and be all in on the Lord based on this good understanding? Every aspect of our lives. When you think about you putting down your spiritual chips, they better all be landing on God, 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 God. Faith, 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 trust, 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 trust. Or you might come up busted. All right? Now, wow. I'll give you this one last thing then, because we only got 3 minutes left. When it says lean not on your own understanding, something's going to be holding you up. Something's going to be propping you up. If it's a spouse, it better be because that spouse is filled with the Spirit and giving you everything God wants for you. If it's a friend, it better be because they have godly counsel. See, the root thing that you need to be leaning on is God, not all the people in your life. You've got ungodly friends, they're going to give you poor understanding, poor counsel, poor wisdom, unless they accidentally stumble on a Bible verse, whether they know it or not. Okay? So when you're leaning your understanding, again, you're all in. There was a missionary, some people may know this story, it's fairly popular, John G. Patton, that he was trying to do translation work over in Africa. And he came across, John 1:12, I think it was something, where the verb pisto ice came in. To have faith in. And he was trying to translate it, and there was no word. There was no word in their language. And every single person that he was asking, they couldn't give him an answer. Like about him, nope, that's not it. Nope, that's not it. That's not close enough. And at one point, he had one of the natives was a runner, And he came in, and he came into his office, and he sat down on the chair there. And he put himself into the chair, and he goes, oh, it is so good to rest my whole weight upon this chair. In other words, I got nothing left. I'm trusting completely in this chair to hold me up, and nothing else. And he goes, what is that? What is that? And he gave him the words for that, which means leaning wholly, wholly. I'm all in. That's what he was saying. And that's how he changed and put that in the book for the translation for those people. That needs to be us, leaning wholly on the chair. I mean, do you sit on the chair, you know, barely touching it like this, going, oh, no, I don't trust it. It's not going to hold me up. I'll just sit like this for the rest of the service. No, you put everything you have on the chair and trust that you're not going to fall backwards. That's the faith we need to have for all these promises, for everything he's guaranteed. But more so, if you don't do that, you're taking the Lord's glory for yourself. You're saying, you know what? God, you can have 90% of it, but I'll take this 10 because I know better. I have my own understanding. Imagine answering for that one at the judgment seat. Why did I only get 90%? Oh, but I gave you 90. It's not going to matter. You're going to be lamenting over the 10 that you took for yourself. So, challenge for today until the next time we come in. Let's go, let's read this again. I close my Bible. Shouldn't have done that yet. Now, all of that, let's read these verses again. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Is this hitting a little bit differently now? Lean not unto thine own understanding. Because remember, there's a good understanding you can have versus your own personal one. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy paths. We didn't even get to 6 yet today, but we'll get that next time. All right. So, remember, that came from heaven, not from me. It means we're going to need it this week for the rest of our lives. Let's make sure we take a hold of that. Give the God the glory for the changes he'll make in our life because of it. Father, we're thankful. Again, Solomon was tender, sensitive, filled with the Spirit enough to write this book for us at least at some point in his life, despite the failures he had later in life, despite the failures that Rehoboam had later in life. Help us to take the hubris and think that we can outdo them and be humble before thee and recognize we'll fail, we'll fall. But all that means is another opportunity for you to elevate us, to bring us back into fellowship with you with our repentance for whatever has beset us and caused us to fall. And we can once again continue to glorify you through our actions as little Christ, as Christians, which you've called us to be. Thank you for the saving work of our Lord Jesus Christ, who bought us with a price. Thank you for being the slaves that we are. Help us to be doulos, dependent upon the very words that you give us so that you can see you glorified and not ourselves. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.